To begin with, though, we're joined by Mike Campbell from
Protect Our NHS.
Yeah. Mike, give us an idea about this latest stage. I think they're called the STP. What does it stand for, first of all?
Well, I was going to say, could I just pick up the point about truth that
sure.
you've just been talking about? Because it links in very helpfully with two points I'd just like to make to sort of kick off the evening. One is that last week we have Theresa May, the Prime Minister, announcing in the House of Commons that the National Health Service is not being privatised. On that very day, Gloucestershire health services, community health services, are handed over to a private company, Care UK. And I think what we need to be talking about at the moment is actually what is happening with the National Health Service. And as far as I'm concerned, I think we are increasingly seeing a health service that is no longer national. And I hope we can sort of concentrate and talk a bit about what actually is happening with the health service and try and get at the truth of what is happening. And the other example I would give is that Simon Stevens, chief executive of the NHS, was being questioned by the audit committee in the House of Commons a couple of weeks ago, and he was questioned about real terms funding of the health service. And despite Theresa May and the government's claims that the health service is being increasing its funding, he said in real terms the amount that is going into the health service per person per population is reducing. And I think those are two kind of facts that we've got to get across in talking about what's happening at the moment.
Well, thanks very much for that, because this is, all these politicians have a great opportunity to speak to the nation. And I suppose the opposition has really got to be very quick off the mark to say, well, hang on, that's a lie, or that's simply not the case. Anyway, tell us what's happening in South Gloucestershire. That sounds quite important.
Well, this is in Gloucestershire. You've got a whole range of community health services, which include the 111 service. This is, as you know, it is the service that you ring if there is an emergency at home and you need ambulance. A whole range of services were being run by a community health NHS in Gloucestershire. And Care UK, which, as you know, runs the 111 service in Bristol via Harmony, and a whole range of other services across the country, and includes Emerson Green, by the way, the treatment centre there, they have actually won the contract in Gloucestershire. So there's a whole raft of services that have just gone straight over across to the private sector. These are services that the NHS, our tax, the money we pay in our tax, is paying for, but it is actually leaving the health service and going into private hands. And frankly, if we don't do something to turn this around, our health service will be within 5 to 10 years within private corporations' hands. And I have to say, the prospective trade deal that the UK is going to probably make with the US over the next few years will increase the likelihood of US companies taking over health services as well.
Now, the 111 service, I seem to remember, this is a couple of years ago now, some part of the country where it had been privatised, it turned out that the people who were answering the phone calls on that service weren't even qualified.
Yeah, I think, Tony, we talked about this the last time I was on the show, where in Devon there were nights when there was not a single trained practitioner, doctor, medical practitioner on duty to advise callers on the 111 switchboards.
So basically, you've got somebody who's answering a call. They're then going through a kind of flow chart, depending on whatever you say to them. And they don't necessarily have any actual proper medical training themselves.
No, and I have to say, they're under enormous pressure as well. There have been problems in a number of services across the country with turnover, with the lack of training, and the separation. I think this is quite important, the separation of these services from mainstream health services such as ambulance, emergency departments and so on.
Well, the latest to sort of appear on the horizon is this STP. These are the Sustainability and Transformation Plans. What's that looking like for here in Bristol?
Well, in Bristol, And again, it's another jargon term, isn't it? Sustainability and transformation plan. What does that mean? Well, let's first of all shorten it to STP, and let's actually be blunt that it's about cuts. It's about in the Bristol, North Somerset and South Gloucestershire area facing up to £305 million cuts from between now and 2020. And that, without doubt, will have an impact on the services that you and me and our listeners, the people who visit GP practices, people going to hospital across the region, they are going to face changes in services, about which people need to be consulted, by the way, and also cuts in services.
So what's it looking like here in Bristol? Because apparently this is a consultation, but it does look as if a lot of the decisions have already been made.
Well, what we had in December was a document produced by the local clinical commissioning group, and the clinical commissioning group is the organisation that purchases and provides services, producing this document that was called the Sustainability and Transformation Plan. That was sent to NHS England with data that still many people have not seen with regard to the funding budgets for the next 3 years. And I think the important thing for listeners is that whatever condition you suffer from, and you may be healthy now, but you know there are going to be times when you need to go to the doctor, whether it's because of a flu, or you may have diabetes, or you might have a problem with a musculoskeletal problem. You will find there will be changes in the way that service is going to be delivered over the next 3 years. And yes, you know, many of us think there are parts of the NHS that need to change and improve as technology improves. But when it comes down to it, what the STP is doing is limiting services on the basis of money, not on the basis of health need. And the STP is part of the plan, the government's plan, to save £22 billion for the health service over the next 3 to 4 years.
One of the things we keep hearing is NHS trusts going into deficit, then having to beg more money from the Department of Health. I did see a rather good website. It's called nhscampaign.org. It's the NHS Support Federation. And a map on there, Mike, is pretty shocking. It shows maps of Britain of all of the health trusts, or the health areas, I guess they are. They're bigger than the trusts. And it starts off in 2013 with all of the entire country being able to balance the books. When we get to 2014, there's about half of the trusts in deficit. And where we are now in 2016, every trust or every area of the country is in deficit. And I'm just looking over to quickly have a peep at this. Yeah, up to 50 million in deficit each one. Now, actually, at the end of the article they've got here, it says that the true deficit, they reckon, is around about 3.5 billion for the entire country. So how on earth is the NHS actually carrying on day to day with that sort of deficit?
Well, I think it's a really good point, and I can't see the screen from where I'm here, and I don't know whether you can see.
Well, I'll put a link up
North
on our
Bristol, North Bristol United Hospitals Bristol Trust.
Well, yeah, they're in the red, very much in the red, the dark red.
Exactly. And in fact, what they are under pressure to do is to deliver by 2020 a surplus, at least a surplus, at best a surplus, at worst a budget that hasn't got a loss. And I was at the clinical commissioning group meeting in Bristol earlier this week, where I asked the question of the CCG that where NHS trusts cannot meet the requirements of NHS England to produce a surplus, which means they've got to make a profit, i.e. save money, will they be fined as a result of that? And we have the ridiculous situation at the moment that if a trust, and let's take Southmead Hospital as the example, that if they don't meet NHS Improvement, which is the organisation within NHS England that is monitoring money, if they don't produce the surplus that is required, they will be fined, and that means they'll be even worse off in deficit terms. So we have a really crazy situation at the moment where harder you try, the more likely you could actually be fined and lose more money.
So who are these people within the National Health Service who are doing this?
It's terribly complicated. And one of the things that I find when I come on shows like this is that you start getting into trying to describe NHS organisations and the various parts of it. But what we have is NHSI, which is the National Health Service Information, which is the part of the NHS which looks at and deals with the money side of our health service.
They sound like the hatchet men. If they're coming along finding people...
I think you could probably describe that as a description. I wouldn't want to comment on that, but it's certainly a good description. But going back to the STP is that you have the moment you've got both Southmead and UBHT, the True Trusts, in deficit, and they have got to find a way of getting out of that deficit. The only way they can do it is to save, and in my view, cut services. There's another problem here, which you've probably touched on in with your other guests over the weeks, which is what's happening in the local council. You have massive cuts facing social care at the moment. Southmead Hospital, 25% of the beds are occupied there, are people who should not be in hospital, but should be in the community being supported through social care. Until you sort out social care, then you're not going to sort out the health service. And those two big crises at the moment are going to create a perfect storm for the health service over the next couple of years, if not sooner.
Now, you say you're going along to the clinical commissioning groups. Are there other places that people can go along and actually see this in action?
Well, I would never say to somebody, advise, if you're looking for a good time out, to go down to a clinical commissioning group. But actually, what we have found, and a number of us do go, and they're very open, the members of the board, which include local GPs and officers of NHS, are very open about a number of the issues which we feel need to be challenged on. And so we ask questions every time about what is happening regarding to the health service. What is the impact going to be on patients? How are patients going to be involved in being consulted?
What about the big trusts? Are they as open to scrutiny?
Yes. I have been to the North Bristol Trust board meeting, and they are very keen for patients, local residents, to go along and ask questions about what is happening to the health service. And I think one of the problems is that if you're not aware of what's going on, and you know that you can get an appointment with your local GP, and that's becoming more and more difficult as funds are being cut, and I've got information about that as well, unless you're really aware of what's going on through checking out information through websites, through going to meetings, it's actually very difficult to keep up with all the changes.
So tell us about those GP cuts then.
Well, we're doing a bit of research on cuts to GP services, and a number of surgeries in the North Bristol area will be losing up to £200,000 per year over the next few years as a result of a change in formula for the funding of GP services. Now, we'll have more information on this over the next few months, but clearly, at the moment, there is a crisis in the recruitment of GPs and the retainment of GPs in services across the country, and Bristol is affected as much as anywhere else.
I suppose the other side to all of this is whereabouts is all this heading? When is the next kind of stage with the STP, with this consultation, and when are we going to know a little bit more about? And I'm imagining we're going to hear things like this department's been cut, this hospital's going to be closed, that sort of thing in the Bristol area.
Well, to be fair to the local STP, we're probably better off than a lot of areas where hospital closures have already been announced. We are waiting to see what might happen over in Weston. Weston Hospital, I think, is under threat, but we'll need to see the details of the operational plan for Weston. There will be a number of what have been described as operational plans. This means that each trust And in Bristol, that will be the Mental Health Trust, the Southmead and Bristol Central Trust. Each of them will be producing plans to identify what savings and hopefully as well what improvements to service they can make. But all this change is going to take time, and any change that has evidence, an evidence base for improving services, is going to take much longer than just 2 or 3 years. But in 2 or 3 years, that money is going to be cut, and that's the problem. The government is rushing through these cuts at a pace that I'm not sure the NHS can really survive.
Now, old Labour Oxford economist Martin Summers, this to me feels a little bit like this is the coming down from the 2008, really, that the government's run out of money because it's bailed out the banks, and that's why we're having to make all these cuts.
Well, basically that's true, but they're also ideologically opposed to the National Health Service, although they don't like to say so. So there's two things going on. There's the macroeconomic mismanagement. You know, we're bailing the banks out and protecting the bonus payments of the City of London, but the NHS has got to cut its coat according to its cloth. And then, of course, there is actually an ideological desire to break the National Health Service, which the Tories are very unwilling to articulate publicly. But if you look at the minutes from 30 years ago from the first Tory cabinet under Margaret Thatcher, they were openly discussing, you know, this will mean the breakup of the National Health Service and a good thing too, you know, the sort of outside of the box. Because the National Health Service is a very successful socialist institution. It's the most efficient healthcare system in the world. Nobody disputes that in terms of bang for the buck, in terms of efficiency, yep. Because it's a planned system, even though it's been messed around with through the internal market and so on, it's still superior in financial terms to any insurance-based system.
Mike, I'll never forget seeing the Duke of Edinburgh, and I think it was 1970s television or 80s or something, talking about the NHS as a sacred cow. This is something that we're not allowed to criticise, much as he'd love to. And then also Conservative politician Oliver Letwin actually doing a pamphlet about how to dismantle the National Health Service back in the 1980s. Yeah. But look, the main thing here, I think, is, you know, you're talking to doctors, clinical commissioning groups. What about the staff? How is morale, do you think?
Well, I mean, in all this, I think staff are tremendous. I think they continue to work under enormous pressure. I meet GPs regularly. There are a number of people in our group who work in the NHS who are absolutely tireless in trying to deliver the best care possible, but they are demoralised. They've experienced pay cuts, and I think that my main concern, and I think Martin's hit it right on, that the sacred cow, however, is being carved up and being turned into bits of meat that is then being handed over to the private sector. And that's the ideological issue. And you're absolutely right. Not only Oliver Letwin talked about privatisation of the NHS, but Jeremy Hunt, actually, in a foreword to that booklet you mentioned, he also has talked about the privatisation of the NHS as being the desirable end for a Tory government.
Frightening. Anyway, you can find Protect Our NHS, you can find it online. It's protectournhs.wordpress.com, which is the blog. You're on Twitter, I think, at NHS Hour, and that's just the letters NHS Hour on Twitter. And it would be nice to get, you know, a little bit more regular updates, because I'm concerned that this is getting to the point where, you know, people are beginning to really seriously suffer and not being able to get the help that they need through the GP, going to casualty, and then finding there that there's massive long delays if they can get seen at all at casualty. And then they're told, well, you know, actually there's nobody to see you here, we're getting to the point where... Well, more like the American system, where, but you've got to get your chequebook out before a doctor will look at you. So anyway, Mike Campbell from Protect Our NHS, thanks very much for joining us on The Politics Show.
Thanks, Tony.
Getting bigger by being better. The number one choice for Bristol. This is BCFM 93.2.